We're continuing the Shir on Likutei Halachos, Choshen Mishpat, Chelek Aleph, Hilchos Shutfim Bekarka, Halacha Dalid, Paragraph Vav. This is the last paragraph of a halacha that we've been learning. Rav Nosson Zal is going to add one additional very important point to the discussion. Previously, Rav Nosson Zal quoted the first Mishnah in Masechta Baba Basra, which speaks about when people who are sharing a courtyard decide to split it. They don't want it to be shared property anymore. They want to divide it in half. You have your half, I have my half. And the Mishnah there defines the types of wall that they can put up to separate them, and how each one has to give up a little bit of his property on which to be able to put the wall on. And the Mishnah gives three examples of walls. A wall made out of stones that have not been shaped or smoothed out in any way, like we see here in Eretz Yisrael sometimes. Or a wall that is made from actual bricks. The Mishnah gives four examples, I believe it is. Or a wall that's made from stones that have been smoothed out. And the Mishnah says how each one of these takes up a different amount of room. And depending on how much room it takes up, each one of the two has to be willing to give up a little bit of his property to allow for that wall to be put down in middle. And Rav Nosson Zal questioned why the Mishnah gives the specific examples, and he tied it into chapter 8 in the second half of Likutei Moran, what Rabbeinu Zal spoke about there. Now, in this final paragraph, Rav Nosson Zal is going to address one more issue and tie it into a different chapter on Likutei Moran, showing why the Mishnah specifically had to define exactly how many tfachim each type of stone takes up, when in the end the Mishnah says, and we go by the custom of the place anyway, so why give us the specific measurements? V'alkein hizkir hatana beferush kamo tfachim noisen kol echot al mechitza. Based on what we learned till now, and based on what we're going to explain here, we'll understand why the Tana of the Mishnah, the author of the Mishnah, specified exactly how much tfachim of land each one of the two has to give up in order to allow for this wall to be built, this partition. L'rames, this is to hint us, she'ikr tikun ha-mechitza, that the main establishment of a partition, of a wall, lehatzil mehezek re'ia, to protect a person from any harm of anybody looking in on their property, watching them, looking in on what they're doing, nimshach mebechinas tikun habris. That power to protect someone, to serve as a partition, a wall, a barrier, protecting a person from being harmed by a look, comes from Tikkun HaBris, Shenase al yidei kol habechino sanal, which a person zoicha to through the different things that we described in the different paragraphs earlier. We went into detail into different things that will help a person be zoicha to get to Tikkun HaBris. Shehem bechinas gvil, gozis, etc., which we spoke about in the previous year when Rav Nosson Zal explained how the word gvil, which means a certain kind of stone, the word gvil also means parchment, the parchment that a Sefer Torah is written on. And gozis refers to the tzaddikim, the rabbis who sat in the lishkas ha-gozis, the chamber of hewn stone in the Beis HaMikdash, etc. V'alkein hizir hatfochim, and therefore we'll understand why the Tana actually enumerated how many tfachim, ze bechinas tikun habris. Because the measurement of tefach, a tefach and how many tfachim, and especially the numbers that are used in that Mishnah, refer to tikun habris, purity and holiness. Kimavur besimen samach gimel, as is explained in chapter 63 in Likutei Moran. That chapter of Likutei Moran is unique in that Rav Nosson Zal was once standing in front of Rabbeinu Zal, and Rabbeinu Zal took a look at his shoe, at Rav Nosson Zal's shoe, and he said, "Your shoe looks like a slap in the face." His shoe was, as we say in French, s'kvetched. That the leather was squashed a little bit. It looked like it was time for a new pair of shoes. And Rabbeinu Zal made a joke saying, your shoe looks like a slap in the face. And then Rabbeinu Zal paused and he shifted gears and he said to Rav Nosson Zal, "Now tell me how the whole explanation that the Arizal gives to explain the mitzvah of Mila is in that joke that I just made." And Rav Nosson Zal was flabbergasted, And Rabbeinu Zal gave a shir, chapter 63 in Likut Imran, which is an incredible, incredible deep shir about the topic of the mitzvah of Mila, where Rabbeinu Zal explains beautiful things about it. And then Rabbeinu Zal went on to show how that whole shir is based on the Arizal's explanation, the Kabbalistic explanation of what Bris Mila is all about. In that chapter, we'll see in a minute, V'alkein Peirat Arba Mina Mechitzois, and based on that chapter in Likut Imran, and based on the Inyan of Tikkun HaBris, we'll understand why the Tana enumerated four examples of partitions, Shematzilin Mehezek Ria, which served to protect the people from any harmful look. Keneged Arba Bechinois Tamim Nekudois Tagim Oisiois. The four correspond to the four components from which the Torah is made up of. We know that the Torah consists of letters. The letters have crowns on them. And then there's the two things that you don't see in the Torah, but we know they're there, which are the vowels and the musical notes. Those are the four components that make up the Torah. Shehein bechinas tlas gavne de'eno u'basayin, which the Zohar HaKadosh says corresponds to the three colored rings of the eye and the pupil of the eye. Hashem looks at us and we look at Hashem. If a person wants to see Hashem, where do you see Hashem? In the Torah. We look at Hashem in the Torah and Hashem kavyochol looks back at us through the Torah. So we see that the four components of the Torah are this whole concept of the eye. V'alkein hischil memechitza shel shisha tfochim, and this will also explain why the Tan in the Mishnah there begins describing a wall that's made of unshaped stones, and the Tana says in order to put up a wall like that, they have to allow six tfochim, which is approximately something like a foot and a half or 2 feet, 18 to 24 inches, to allow for that kind of a wall. So he starts with a wall of six tfachim, v'siyim, and he concludes b'mechitza shel shloisha tfachim, speaking about another type of wall that's made of actual bricks, layered bricks, where there it's enough to have three tfachim. Ki bohem kolul kol ha-mechitzos, because within the examples that the Tana gives in that Mishnah are included all the various types of partitions, Lahatzel mehezek ria, which protect a person from being harmed by a look, by the eye. Shehein bechinas tikkun habris, which is all tied into tikkun habris because we learned earlier that tikkun habris depends on the eyes. It all starts from the eyes. As it says in Kriya Shema, v'loy sasuru acharei levavchem v'acharei nechem. Don't allow yourself to be pulled by looking at what you're not supposed to. Because that's how the fisherman gets his hook into you. That's how the Yitzhar gets his hook into you to lead a person into Pegama Bris, all types of Pegama Bris. Ki Tikana Bris, Kolul, Bebechinas, Shisha Tfochim Kanal. Because we know that the topic of Tikana Bris is included in the measurement of six Tfochim. Kimavur Shom Besimen Anal, as Rabbeinu Zal explains over there in Likut Imran. Because we know the word Amma in Hebrew, the word Amma means the organ of the Bris Kodesh, is called the Amma throughout the Gemara. And the word Amma in Hebrew also means a measurement, a cubit. And the Gemara says, how big is an Amma? It's used throughout the Torah. tzitzis has to be the beged of tzitzis, amo al amo, many different things that are calculated by amo. 2,000 amo is the tchum Shabbos, etc. And the Gemara says that an amo is 6 tfachim. The Sifrei Kabbalah tell us that amo, which is the organ, is 6 tfachim because we know the number 6 refers to the sphere of Yesoid, the mid of Yesoid, which is the Bris Kodesh. We know that Yosef, each one of the tzaddikim, has a different special quality. David is called David HaMelech. Aharon, Aharon HaKohen. Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu. Yosef is called Yosef HaTzadik because he was outstanding. He was the first tzaddik to make an incredible breakthrough in the area of Tikkun HaBris. Yosef is bigematria 6 times Yudkei Vovkei, 6 times the name of Hashem, because that number 6 represents Bris Kodesh. So we're told that the Amo is Shisha Tfachim. And that's how the Mishnah begins over there. When it speaks about partitions, the first partition is Shisha Tfachim. Avol Eilu HaShisha Tfachim. Ikram heim bechina shloisha tfachim. However, the 6 tfachim that represent the bris are especially broken down into another category of 3 tfachim. Rak shekol echod v'echod mehem kol mishnayim. But each one is a double. In other words, there are 3 sets. The 6 are not 6 unique. It's 3 unique. Each of the 3 is a double. It's 3 times 2. Kimavur Sham Hetev, as Rabbeinu Zal says over there, because Rabbeinu Zal quotes a pasuk in Navi where it speaks about the angels, and it says that the angels have 6 wings. With 2 they fly, with 2 they do this, and with 2 they do that. And Rabbeinu Zal ties that also into the concept of Tikkun HaBris. Kimavur Sham Hetev, as Rabbeinu Zal explains very thoroughly over there in chapter 63 in Likut Imran. Shezeh b'chinas, as the Pasuk says, one of the Pesukim Rabbeinu Zal quotes over there is, b'shtayim yechase ponov, with 2 wings the angel hides his face, u'b'shtayim ye'oifeif, with 2 of the wings he flies, and the other 2 something else. V'alkein klal hatikunim shel tikkun HaBris, kol mishloisha tfachim ad shisha tfachim. So we see over there in that chapter in Likut Imran that the different aspects of Tikkun HaBris are defined between 3 tfachim and 6 tfachim. V'alkein hizkir atana hamechitzois, that's why the Tan in the Mishnah here, when he speaks about partitions that protect a person from hezek ri'ya, he also enumerates these groups, Sheshiura Mishloisha at Shisha Tfachim. He gives examples that go from 3 to 6 Tfachim, because again, he's showing us that the Mishnah is operating on a few different levels, Pshat, Remez, Drush, and Soid. So in the Mishnah, if it was just Pshat, it would have been enough to say to you follow the custom of the locality, whatever the size of the partition is. But if the Mishnah wants to include the element of Soid, telling us, what is this partition all about? Why is there a problem of hezek ri'ya? Why would a Jew look with envy at something that somebody else has? You know why? Because the Jew fell victim to sins of pegam HaBris, because he looks where he's not supposed to, and that puts an evil in his eye, that now when he looks at something that somebody else has, he looks with an envy and it can actually call harm. So that's all included in the words of the Tana and the Mishnah. That's what Rav Nosson Zal shows us here, where he marries together, he combines together the Pshat and the Soid. And again, based on the Zohar HaKadosh, mentions this a few times, how silly are those people who learn Torah Shebal Peh thinking that it's only the Pshat, it's only the Halacha, not realizing that these Tanoim spoke with Ruach HaKadosh, and in their words are included all kinds of other messages also. And Baruch Hashem, that's one of the things that we get to see in the Likutei Halachos. Rav Nosson Zal gives us examples of this, Baruch Hashem. With this, we conclude this halacha. We begin the next halacha, which is based on one of the famous chapters in Likutei Imran. And this next halacha is going to include some beautiful things about Chanukah, which is the next holiday coming up, Baruch Hashem. Halacha Hey, on this topic of Shutfim Bekarka, partners that share a piece of real estate. Al Pi HaToyra Ki Marachamo Mienahagim. This is going to be based on chapter 7 in the second half of Likut Imran. Ayin Shom Kol HaToyra. Study that entire chapter. Umevoyer Shom. One of the things that Rabbein Azal explains over there is Shetzorich kol odom lasoik beyishuv ha'olam, that every single Jew has a responsibility to try to make the world into a civilization, to try to settle the world, which means getting married, building a family, spreading light. Dehainu lahamshich hadas hakodosh ba'olam, which means especially spreading Seichel in the world. Because if a person gives birth to children who are terrorists, if they raise children to be terrorists, to kill people, to murder, to hate, that's not civilization. You could have 1 million people, you have 1 billion people, that's not called civilization, that's jungle. Civilization is lahamshich hadas hakodosh boilam, to bring holy Seichel into the world. Meaning, that each and every person should enlighten his friend, his neighbor, his relative regarding the ultimate purpose. That we were not put in this world, we didn't come into this world to enjoy materialism, to have another restaurant, a different piece of, a different kind of cake, a different fish. Or to be worrying and thinking all the time about earning a living. That's not the purpose of creation. That's not the ultimate purpose of this world. But rather, our whole reason for coming into this passing world is is only to achieve recognition of Hashem through the study of Torah and fulfillment of mitzvahs, v'chulu, etc. V'ze ikar ha'chalifus v'hashora shel hodom lachar misosoi. And this is what really remains from a person in this world after the person leaves the world. When a person passes away, the lunches that they had, the breakfasts that they had are gone. The business that they did, all the trends, what they bought and sold, also is finished. What remains from the person in this world? What mark did a person leave in this world? If the person was privileged to enlighten anybody, their wife and children, or their friends, or their neighbors, or their students, about Hashem. If they were zeichah to do that, then a part of that person continues to live in this world. If he owns a building or something like that, the building is there, it exists. You wouldn't call that a living memento of the person. The building isn't alive. Unless, again, if it's a building, a person was zeichah to build a shul or a yeshiva, a place where people are being enlightened about Hashem, then again, then he continues to live in this world. Rabbein Azal says over there that each and every Jew has a responsibility to share his knowledge of Hashem, his recognition of the ultimate purpose, with children and students, v'chulu, etc. And Rabbein Azal elaborates on that over there. Ayin shom kol ze heitev. Look over Rabbein Azal's words over there well, because Rabbein Azal really elaborates on that. Umevoyer shom, Rabbein Azal explains over there, sheze sheoisek lohoyer hadas b'chaveiroi v'talmidov, that a person who's involved in this, a person who's involved in sharing his knowledge of Hashem, his recognition of Hashem, with students or with children, tzorich sheyiloi b'chinas shtika, must also have the knowledge of knowing when to be quiet, when not to answer a question. Sheyishtoik b'mokim shetzorech lishtoik, to be quiet where the proper response is quietness. כדי שלא יכנס בקושיות ותירוצים שהם למעלה מהזמן. So that the person shouldn't get involved in questions and answers that are beyond the scope of time, where there isn't enough time in the class, or there isn't enough time in the year, or is there isn't enough time in this lifetime to respond to certain questions. The certain questions that are above and beyond the frame of time. Levayar hakushis vateirutzim sheyesham, which there are in those places. Shezeo bechinas, this is what the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, va'asu siog la'toira. The Mishnah speaks about acquiring many students, but the Mishnah also says, va'asu siog la'toira. Make sure you put a fence around the Torah. Bechinas siog la'chochma shtika. As the Gemara also says, that a fence around knowledge is silence. Rabbeinu Zal elaborates on this. That's one of the long chapters on Likutei Moran, where Rabbeinu Zal really explains these things very thoroughly. Now we'll see how Rav Nosson Zal is going to bring this in regarding the topic of fences, partitions that we make in this world, and why we need partitions, and how it corresponds to the spiritual partitions. Paragraph Beis. V'ze b'chinas ma shehichmiru rabbeisenu zal ma'oid al hezek ri'ya. This will help us understand why the rabbis were so strict regarding this problem of damage and harm that a person can do to another person by looking into their property. Kimavoyer b'shulchan aruch harbe dinim b'ze. As we find in the Shulchan Aruch, there are many laws regarding this topic. Shehashutfin shecholku, whereby if you have partners, people who started out as partners, and then they decided to split, tzrichim lasos mechitza b'neim, they must set up a partition between them. Govoya arba amos, it has to be 4 amos high, which means at least 6 to 8 feet high. Kedei shelo yistakel ze al ze, so that neither one should look into the other one's property. Ki ikar hezek riyah shenimshach mehora ayin kol yinikosoi nimshach al yidei ze. Because the whole concept of a person harming another person by looking into their property comes through this. That the person is not careful to limit, to restrict his mind, to put boundaries on his mind. Bibchinas shtika, meaning knowing when to be quiet, what questions should not be asked, or what questions should not be answered. Even if the question is asked, what question does not get an answer? Because if you answer that question, it's going to open a Pandora's box. It's going to lead to the next question where you're stepping on a red line. You're stepping not just on a red line, on a minefield, chas v'shalom, stepping on a mine. Rabbeinu Zal explains this beautifully over there in Likutei Moran, that you don't realize sometimes somebody asks a question, a relatively innocent question, and the person says, what's about that? They'll answer that question, but they didn't anticipate that that wasn't the real question. That was a lead. That was leading to something else, which is a very dangerous question, a question that's problematic. And if it's anticipated in advance, then you know where to stop, where to draw the line. If it's not anticipated, and if you go into that place touching on a question that's problematic, it's a different story. There's the Rambam Zal, when he wrote his Sefer, we don't mention the name. The initials are Mem Nun. In English, it's called the guide to the something or other. The guide to the So he writes in the introduction that this Sefer is not for everybody. Out of 1,000 people, 1 in 1,000 will be able to appreciate and benefit from this Sefer. Rav Nosson Zal, when he was once discussing this topic, Rav Nosson Zal said, the 999 we've seen. the one we haven't come across yet, the 999 who could be harmed by a sefer like this, on whom the questions will make a much stronger impression than the answers, the questions they'll get, they'll digest. The answers they won't fully understand, and they'll be left with a bag of questions, questions about Hashem and about religion that they never should have gotten involved in, chas v'shalom. So we see the incredible danger and risk of entering into certain type of questioning. B'b'china shtika, livli lichnois b'kushis v'tirutzim she'osr loy l'estakel b'em l'fi b'chinosoy. Meaning that the person was not careful to limit himself, to know to be when to be quiet, not to enter into questions and answers which he is not permitted to look into based on his level, l'fi b'chinosoy, based on the level that he's at. Kienayim al shem ha-chokhmon emra, because we know throughout the Torah, the eyes represent understanding, knowledge, understanding. K'moy shekosuv, as it says about Adam and Chava, that when they ate from the Eitz Hadas, it says, v'tipokachno einei shnehem. Their eyes were opened up. And the word tipokachno, pikeach. Pikeach means chokhmo, seichel. K'moy shem rabbi senosal, as the Gemara says, u'k'moy shekosuv, and as Shlomo HaMelech says, v'libi ro'o harbe chokhmo vadas. My heart has seen a lot of knowledge and wisdom. Again, he uses the term seeing related to chachma and das. V'alkein, and therefore, kishemistakel b'daitoy b'ma she'en lo rishus, when a Jew, chas v'shalom, looks with his mind, meaning he thinks about things that he's not allowed to, that he doesn't have permission to think about, he delves into questions, he crosses boundaries of things that he shouldn't be thinking about, Zeh bechinas ra'ayin. That's another form of this ra'ayin, this evil eye. Ki gam hora'ayin bi'atzmoi ma she'enoi ro b'shel chaveroi. Because this itself, the ra'ayin as people know it, that people have a person has an evil eye, meaning that he looks with jealousy and hate and resentment at what somebody else has, she'yesh lo yashirus, that the other person has wealth, or the other person bought a beautiful thing, a beautiful swimming pool, a beautiful car or something that the other person has, and they're envious of it. That also is the result of a person having too many questions, meaning the person's looking at what he has no permission to look at. Because if that person would have partitions in his brain, in his mind, not to look at or think about or delve into that which is out of bounds for him, that which is above him, but rather rak lahamin b'emuna shlema, but rather to believe with complete faith, that Hashem is righteous and everything Hashem does is 100% right, as the pasuk says, lahagid ki yoshor Hashem, in order to declare that Hashem is righteous, tsuri v'loy avlosa boy, there is nothing wrong in Hashem. Hashem does no wrong at all. Uksiven, there's another pasuk that says, Kel emuna ve'ein ovel. Hashem is trustworthy and there is no ovel. There's no blemishes. There's nothing wrong by Hashem. If the person would believe in that and wouldn't be thinking about why does this person have something that I don't? What he's really saying is, why did Hashem, if he believes in Hashem, he's questioning Hashem. How come Hashem gave that person a bigger house than me, a better car than me, a better this, all of those things? If the person had those boundaries in his brain, not to go to such places, not to delve into such questions, but rather to solid faith in Hashem, bevadai loy hoye loy shum ayin ro b'shel chaveroi klal, such a person would not have any negative eye towards any other person in the world whatsoever. Ki mi yovoi achar hamelech? Because which person's going to challenge Hashem? Which person's nuts, crazy, that he wants to challenge Hashem? Like, why is Hashem doing this? Malkoi Sheloilam Yisbor, the king of the world, Yisbor Hashmoy, may his name be blessed. Asher Mishpotoi Emes V'yoshor, whereby Hashem's justice is 100% accurate and right. V'hishpia lozeh elu akelim v'abgodim v'chafotzim, and he gave this particular person these articles and these things. Uma v'chulu etc. Uma loy lehistakel al zeh klal. Why should I be looking at all at that? If I realize that everything is based on Hashem's justice and Hashem's supervision, like that there's no oversight here, there's no person, somebody else gets something in the mail, maybe they shipped him the wrong thing, maybe they sent it to the wrong person. Maybe what was supposed to come to me went to my neighbor. But if you know that Hashem is the one giving everything, then that issue doesn't exist. I don't have to worry that somebody else got something that maybe I should have gotten. Or that doesn't come to. There's no beginning of that. Ve'ikar ho'ayin ro, mashenimtza she'enoi ro, b'shel chaveroi, and therefore, the whole concept of an evil eye, that a person is looking negatively at what something somebody else has, nimshach rak mikushya sanal. That's only coming from one place. It's coming from questioning Hashem, doubting Hashem. Shekosheloi madua yile chaveroi kol hashirus vagdul azois. Whereby the person has this question, why should that person have all of this wealth and all of these good things? Sheze nimshach mikushyois shel tzadik v'toivloi, tzadik v'raloi, rosha v'toivloi, rosha v'raloi. And what that actually also goes back to, a famous thing that's mentioned in the Gemara, the concept that we see, it looks to us sometimes in this world, that there are righteous people who have things going well for them, and then sometimes we see righteous people with tremendous suffering. Then we see evil people that have everything going well for them, and then we see evil people that are suffering. What's going on here? Shebe'elu hakushyois osur lichnois velachkur klal. And we know the Gemara tells us, the Torah tells us, that regarding these questions, a person is forbidden 100% to delve into that. We can't understand that. Because this is related to the hidden ways of Hashem, which we cannot understand. Kamuva, as is brought. And as we elaborate on this in other places. Paragraph Gimel. V'alkein his hiru raboyseinu zal lasois mechitza bein hashutfim. And it's for this reason that our rabbis warned us to make sure to put up a partition between these partners that have split, so they shouldn't come to harm each other with a look. Because this physical partition that's dividing the property in half, this originates from the spiritual partition that we said, that around Chochma, there has to be a fence, Siog LaChochma Shtika, that there's got to be a fence around knowledge. A person who wants to know and wants to know has to know that there's boundaries. You can only ask till here. You can only ask so many questions right now. If you keep asking questions, you're not going to learn. You're not going to have any time to listen, to hear what's being said. Or if you ask questions that are inappropriate or that are beyond the scope of what a person's in a class, they're learning a certain type of knowledge, and a person starts asking questions that are not within the scope of what they're learning in that class, he's going to get nowhere. that teacher is not, either if the teacher knows the information, he won't give it to him because it's not within the scope of that knowledge. And if the teacher doesn't know, then instead you're not getting what he does know. You're not going to benefit from what he can teach you by asking questions that are out of bounds, that don't belong there. So chachma, the Mishnah says, siog la chachma shtika, that chachma is something very important, that it has to have a fence around it to protect it. What's the fence? Shtika, silence, knowing when to be quiet, when not to ask, and when not to answer. Person asked a very good question. I know if I answer that question, it could be a lead into something problematic. Bechinas va'asu siog la'toira. As the Mishnah says to the rabbis, make sure you put a fence around the Torah. Ki siog perushoi geder u'mechitza. Because siog means a fence or a partition. Ki hashtika hi bechinas siog v'geder u'mechitza la'haseichel v'achochma. Because silence serves as a fence or a partition around intellect, around knowledge, shaloi tispazer v'tiskalke lagamri, so that the knowledge should not become scattered, it shouldn't fly away. Like a person has a bunch of things, and if they're not fenced in, they'll just fly all over them, they'll scatter. We have a term in English, scatterbrain. Person, what's scatterbrain? Isn't focused. Can't focus, can't stick to the topic, stick to what we're doing right now. You can ask an interesting question. Sometimes because a teacher allows people to ask questions all the place, the people walk out of class, we didn't learn anything because this one asked the question, this one asked the question. It took us all kinds of places. We never got to address what we were supposed to learn. Because when a person does not have those partitions of that quiet, that ability to be silent, not to enter and try to look at what he has no permission to, what he's not allowed to, this destroys completely the person's brain. We have psychologists and doctors trying to figure out, you have people walking around with all kinds of brain problems, and the Torah defines how to have a healthy, what a healthy brain is. And this is the concept behind this partition that the rabbi said must be set up between partners who decide they're not best friends anymore, they have to split, so they must put up a wall between them. That wall is tied into the wall that the Torah speaks about. That when it comes to chachma, when it comes to the brain requires a wall around it. And in fact, in Kabbalistic terms, we know that what's above chachma? Keser. Keser is the crown. What is a crown? A crown is a fence. A crown is a fence that's worn around the head. The keser is and keser is shtika. We might get into this a little bit later. We know that chachma, when the Torah speaks about chachma, it always uses the term liftoach, to open up. Open up with knowledge. Knowledge is revealing. Knowledge is revealing. It's light. Keser, the crown, is shtika. Is the ability to know when to be quiet, when not to ask certain questions that the Torah defines keser as b'mufla mimcho al tidroish u'b'mechusim mimcho al tachkor. In that which is wondrous to you, do not analyze, and in that which is covered up from you, don't delve into it. Paragraph Dalid. And now you'll understand why the rabbis said that the minimum height of a partition is 4 amos. An amo, there's a debate in the Gemara and in Shulchan Aruch even whether an amo is 1.5 feet or 2 feet. And in Shulchan Aruch, depending on the situation, we usually take the stricter view, depending on what it is. But in Hebrew it's called amos, 4 amos. Bechinois, she'osur listakel bohem. I'm sorry. Keneged arba bechinois she'osr listakel b'hem. The four amos of the partition correspond to four things that the Gemara says a Jew is not supposed to look into, delve into, four types of questions. K'moshom Rabbi Seinu Zala, as the Gemara says, kol hamistakel b'arba dvorim, any person who looks at four things, roi loy sheloy bo loylam. It would be better if he didn't, if he wasn't created, if he wasn't, didn't come into the world. What are the four things? Shehem malamalo, malamato, malifnim, malochar. What's above, what's below, what's inside, and what's in back of? Hashem. What's above Hashem, chas v'shalom? There are different interpretations in the commentaries as to what this means. This is the terminology used in the Gemara regarding those types of philosophical questions that we're not allowed to delve into. The way the Gemara sums it up is by the Gemara saying that a person is not allowed to look at what's before, what's after, what's above, what's below. She'al zeh ne'emar, about this, the Pasuk says, ki ein mila b'lashoni, I have no words on my tongue, meaning I have nothing to say about it. Bechinas shtikanal, this is that silence. As the Pasuk says, as the Pasuk continues, hein Hashem yodato kula, you Hashem know everything. Ocher vokedem tsartoni, you created me front and back. Bechinas malifnim malocher, the Gemara says that alludes to this concept of what's inside, what's inside and what's in back of. And then there's another pasuk that says there, im esak shomayim shomato, if I reach up to the heavens, you're there. Vatzio sho'el, and if I go as far down as I can possibly go, hineko, you're there. Ze b'chinas malamalo malamato. That these psukim give us examples showing that Hashem is below, above, in front, and back. There's nothing behind Hashem. There's nothing in front of Hashem. She'al kol zeh osur lachkor klal. That regarding these kinds of questions, it is forbidden for a Jew to do any kind of analyzing and thinking whatsoever. Rak lishtoik, but rather to be silent. Bechinas siog lachochmo shtika. As the Torah says, a protection. The protection for chochmo is silence, knowing when to be quiet. Umibechinas elu huarabod vorim malamale, etc. And it's from these four types of questions, mize nimshach kol hanhogois drochov yisporach hanifloim vanailomimoi. It's from this. This is the foundation of all of the ways of Hashem, which we cannot understand. All the different things that we see about Hashem, why was there a Holocaust, why all the whys that people have about things that we don't, why is this person poor, why is this righteous person going through so much suffering? Why did David HaMelech, who Hashem says, I love you, I love you, I love, why do we see him going through every different type of suffering imaginable, chas v'shalom? The questions of tzaddik v'raloi, tzaddik v'toivloi. Shehem bechinas tzaddik v'toivloi, tzaddik v'raloi, rosha v'toivloi, rosha v'raloi, shehem arba bechinois gamkein, which also the Torah gives us four examples. So we see the Gemara, when it comes to questioning Hashem, it's always these four examples. U'keneged zeh? Corresponding to that, on earth, when we set up a partition between people to know what's out of bounds, what I shouldn't be looking at, what I shouldn't be, it's these four amos. Lishmor mehezek riyah, shenimshach alidei hakushyos, which comes from that hezek riyah, that harmful look, comes from those questions, which come from the four examples, the four things that we mentioned earlier. That regarding this, a Jew has to set up a partition in his brain. A fence around chochma is silence. that I know certain areas that I'm not willing to think about it. I'm not willing to delve in to analyze it. Shaloi lehistakel ba'akushos, not to delve into those questions, hanimshochem me'arbo dvorim anal, which come from those four things. V'alkein hitzrichu shetia mechitza gavoya arba amos. This is why the halacha requires that the barrier between neighbors should be four amos. This is teaching us this lesson, that where does this problem come from? Where does Ra'ayin come from? Where does Hezekiah come from? It comes from this problem, this issue in Yiddishkeit of thinking, of chachma, seichel, and eyes open. The eyes represent chachma, that the whole purpose of creation, the world is built on chachma. It says, kulam b'chachma asisa. Hashem created everything with chachma. And we know that a Jew's mission in this world is to be enlightened about Hashem, to get to know Hashem, to get recognition of Hashem. And every new, learning another page is closer to Hashem. The Rambam says, ilu yedativ, Hayisiv. If we would understand Hashem, we would be Hashem. And the Sforim HaKdoshim write, that means that the more a person understands about Hashem, the more kaviyoch they become part of Hashem. So on one hand, the mission is to run as fast as you can, to acquire as much knowledge and understanding as you can. But try a car with no brakes. Try a car that has a fabulous accelerator, gorgeous windshield, top goes up and down, everything, just no brakes. We know how far you're going to get with that. That's the story here also. That siog lachochmo shtika, the Torah speaks, as the hachamim osu siog ledivreim, that the Torah teaches us there has to be this boundary, that in the process of acquiring chochma in a healthy way, if you want to be matzliach, you always have to know not to overstep a boundary. We see by certain great tzaddikim, by the Arizal. The Arizal told his student Reb Chaim Vitalzal that Hashem put me in this world for you, to be able to make available to you secrets of Torah, you know, open up gates to you that were never opened before. Reb Chaim Vital was shocked. That was incredible. You mean I can ask it? But yes, I'm available. And the Arizal opened floodgates. And then at one, sometimes while the Arizal was teaching, they'd go into something, and the Arizal said, "We can't go for this. I can't tell you. I can't reveal more than this." And Reb Chaim Vital said, "But what do you mean? You said you're supposed to give me everything I want. Yes, but don't press me for this, because this is dangerous." Reb Chaim Vital didn't get it. He pressed the Arizal. The Arizal did reveal it to him. And that day, suddenly the Arizal's son got sick, his head was hurting him, and he died a day or two later. And the Arizal said, "It's because I revealed a secret that I wasn't supposed to." What do you mean? You said you're here to... I am here to teach you. There's chachma and there's a keser. There's chachma that's a mitzvah to learn. There are certain things that are a mitzvah to know, and there are certain things that the mitzvah is not to know, or not right now. If you try to take it before the right time, could be this same thing. Tomorrow is 100% kosher, 100% permissible. Today, if you step on it, it'll blow up in your face, literally. Rabbeinu Zal speaks about eating a fruit that's not ripe yet. That when a person eats an unripe fruit, a person pulls a fruit off a tree before it's fully ripe, then that fruit still needs to suck energy. It's like a child that needs to nurse from its mother. If it's not getting it from the tree, it'll suck out the life from the person that's eating it. It's incredible. Everything is hashkocha. A few minutes ago, I was speaking to a doctor, a close, very close friend, and talking about a health issue, a problem, and talking about vitamin C. Everybody knows vitamin C, especially in the winter, is healthy. My Rebbe, Zichron Avrocha, Reb Michal, Zichron Avrocha, used to get colds often. And at one point, somebody told him that there's something called vitamin C, which most people, there's nothing that everybody agrees on, but most people feel that it helps strengthen the immune system, strengthen a person, especially during winter season, to help keep away colds. He started using it, and for the next 20 years or so of his life, he would take vitamin C every day. He would get it, kosher, you know, land of vitamins, etc. So I mentioned to the doctor, everybody knows vitamin C, oranges, clementinas. Right now, as you go into any of the fruit stores in Yerushalayim, the new crop of clementinas. He said to me, it's true, they have. But unfortunately, they pick them here before they're fully ripe. And the real benefit of the vitamin C is not, you're not getting anywhere near the full effects of it. Person say, I can't believe it. You know, there's chokhmah, again, there's the wisdom of Hashem in everything. Look at the chokhmah here, how every single thing, you know, we're doing business, it's commercial, everything becomes commercial, and making more money and more money and more things available, more. But we're losing things by trying to speed up the process. We're outrunning Hashem. You know, as it used to be 100 years ago, they knew you don't touch a fruit until it's really full. No, now we pick it, then we put the sun, we put light on it, we speed up the process. We can grow the cucumber season, it takes 2 days. We do it in 1 day with all kinds of tricks. But you're not getting the full benefit, or sometimes not getting any. They can kill the benefit completely by running ahead, by going out of bounds. Yitzhak Shem will continue in the next year.